Welcome back to the Sights On Podcast. It's Luciano and Alex here for episode number 12. Today, we're going to be answering some questions on an online survey that we found, and we're going to be talking about some policies because we're in election season. We'd like to talk about the policies that we are somewhat passionate about, but some of these, there are some oddball questions, and we're going to be discussing them today.
Yeah, there's definitely like policies that like everybody has about one or two policies that they really care about, either the border, abortion, gun rights, the economy. There's something that drives people to go out and vote for about one policy. Everybody cares strongly, mainly about like one important policy gets people to vote either, you know, over the others. So that's what we're going to go through, a online survey. It's going to be great. But Luci, how was your week this week?
It was good. It was one much needed like productivity week. So I had a test for anatomy and I aced it. I got 99. It was much, much needed because that puts a lot of stress off my back. Because in the next coming weeks, I have a lot of midterms and final exams that I need to ace them in order to get a good grade. And if I got this good grade now, then I can relax for later. But that's my college life in terms of like outside life. I've been hitting balls again and playing tennis almost every week, and I've been back to music. I've been playing piano and violin. In summer, I didn't have any time to do that, and it was just tough. But now getting back in, and I just love it. I love college.
It's awesome. I've been not doing much, just my usual. It sounds about the same every time I come on here. I just go to work, I go to school, and I'm loving my government class. I think that's what I'm actually always super excited to go to government, because I always feel like I'm learning, but I also know a lot of information already, so it's very fun for me to go. That's kind of my joy right now in life. And then, obviously, my girlfriend, and she'll be here next week, so waiting on that. But otherwise, I'm doing all right.
Nice. So, you have government you enjoy, but there's another one, geology. How's that going right now?
It's not going that well, but we have a test this week that we can do good on and bring that grid back up to an A. So
yeah, studies are very important, so we want to get those cleaned up right there.
Yes.
Yeah. And then there's another thing coming up. We have other episodes, Veterans Day coming up, and we're going to be doing that here in a couple weeks. And then we have some food episodes later coming up as well.
We have a food episode. There's the AI episode we've all seen with Elon Musk upgrading his AI and just how AI is actually advancing quite fast. And then what was that?
Relationships and dating.
We have, I think that's an important topic as most of our audience is quite young. That a relationships and dating episode would be great as I feel like the landscape of like dating has changed so much in like the last 20 years.
Exactly. Yeah. It's very important to discuss it because we now have social media as like the prime platform that people meet on. And how is that changing how we interact with people?
Yeah.
And what does a normal man want in a woman? What does a normal woman want in a man?
And how like should a relationship be someone that's in a relationship, someone who's looking for a relationship? It'll just be a great episode when we get there.
Yeah. But yeah, let's get right into it. So we have this survey right here. And if you want to take this quiz along with us, it's going to be called the 2024 Political Quiz hosted by isidewith.com. And we will post this right here in the comments section.
Yep. And so you can take this quiz with us while we're taking it, as we're also live on Instagram. It's like 30 questions, but you're going to get stumped, I bet, at some of these points where you're going to be like, what is my opinion on this? And you're going to have to be like, or maybe you don't have an opinion, you're unsure. I remember when I was doing it just earlier today, I was like, I'm unsure. I don't know, like, what's my actual opinion on this topic. And so I just kind of left it there. And I think that's okay. You're not going to know every policy that you're like sure with, or maybe you're in the middle with some of the policies. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to go through this and just see what we think we would vote on. Like, what is our stance on each of these policies?
Yep. Yeah. So now it's in the comment section on Instagram Live if you're watching. And now we will post it in the comment section in our YouTube channel, Sights On Podcast, Spotify pages, RSS, and Apple Podcasts. We're now on Apple Podcasts, finally, and it's something that is very exciting because this is another method that you could use, and it's very user-friendly. You can see all our transcripts there on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, we definitely know some of y'all been waiting for Apple, so we're sorry it took so long. Apple is a pain in the butt to work with, so let's go.
Yeah. All right, the first question of the day is, should there be more restrictions on the current process of purchasing a gun?
Now, the quick answer, there's a yes or no, and then there's other stance. My stance came when I was answering this question was, where is it? It was a yes, but there should be more background checks. Like, that's the only, my main restriction is that there just needs to be more of a background check on them. I think the answer is yes, require strict background checks and the psychological testing and training. I think that's fair. Like, I want to know, like, how mentally, like, stable you are as a person before you own this gun. I don't think mentally unstable mental people should not be, like, owning guns. I think they're a danger to themselves, a danger to other people. So I think definitely a little test, like, should be good, and just a overall background check, you know. Are you a criminal? Have you committed crimes with weapons before, kind of deal, you know?
Definitely. I agree on you totally. Like, we need background checks, but we can't restrict the rights. Like, we can't put a buyback program or say, you're not allowed to have guns. Like, that's our core foundation, and it's something that we've already discussed. I forget the number, but we have an episode about guns,
and I've kind of stated my stance before, kind of agreeing with this, that there just needs to be a better background check system. And I do think, like, if you fail that background check, I don't think we should still give you the gun. Like, if you fail this kind of stuff, you don't get the right to it, right? Because it shouldn't be that hard to pass this stuff. But if you obviously have really bad mental issues, or you're a threat to others, you've hurt other people previously plenty of times, then you probably don't need that gun. You're going to probably hurt someone with it, or yourself.
Yeah. And going into schools, I think we need more security in schools and trying to help slow the epidemic of school shooting. That's the one thing that we need to do, is more school security.
Yeah. All right. It's actually one of the next questions, I'm pretty sure, as it goes in the guns, is should teachers have guns?
Should teachers be allowed to carry guns at school?
No. Yes. I say yes. This is just plain yes answer. I think responsible teachers, like, let's say there's a coach that teaches a class. Now, I don't think he needs to have, like, a shotgun, right? But maybe, like, a pistol, you know, that's in a locked safe. And then, so that way, when that intruder tries to come in, or if the intruder's, I mean, it's going to be hard if the intruder's already in the class and he opens fire in the classroom. That's going to be difficult to be able to work. But if he wanted to have it, I guess, on his hip, maybe too, needs to be on safety. I think there needs to be, like, training for the teachers. Yeah, obviously, training. I don't want a teacher that doesn't know how to shoot a gun to have a gun. That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So, but I would say yes.
Yeah, definitely me too. Like, that would help slow the shooter that's actively in the building. And those teachers, they love the children. They will do everything that they can to fight that shooter, and they have the gun. So they will definitely be able to shoot that shooter.
Yeah, and I definitely think, you know, for those aggressive students that may attack the shooter, I mean, not the shooter, the teacher, we definitely need to be checking up on those kids and figuring out something so that way that does not happen, you know? Like, I don't want people attacking the teacher because they have the gun, kind of deal, like the students, so that way then they get the gun and attack other people, you know? Again, it needs to be on safety. Maybe I've seen new technologies where you need a fingerprint to unlock the gun. That may help if we have some sort of advancement in our gun technology where you need a fingerprint to be able to shoot the gun.
That's a good, yeah.
So definitely that would be a great addition to the teachers, because I don't want students taking that teacher's gun, overpowering her or him, and then causing harm to others.
Yeah. Fingerprinting for guns, yeah. We already have it on our phones, why not on guns, so.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Next question. These are all, okay. Should victims of gun violence be allowed to sue firearm dealers and manufacturers?
I'll let you answer first, and then I'll give my opinion.
The manufacturers are not the ones that commit the crime, so I would say no.
That is exactly my answer. I would say no as well, because they are not responsible for what other people do. That's like if, trying to think of an example, should you be able to, like, I don't know if this is a good example, but, like, sue fast food because you got fat off of it? Like,
no.
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 Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that just doesn't make any sense.
That was your choice.
Yeah, it was your choice. So
you committed the crime against yourself.
And the gun manufacturers, I guess you can buy from the website, but most time you may buy from Cabela's. So let's say you bought the gun from Cabela's, and then are you still going to sue the gun manufacturer because they made the gun? You know, like, that doesn't make any sense. And why, or don't even sue Cabela's either, unless they, like, gave you the gun without the background check system, or they just gave it to you without any checks, you know.
But even then, yeah. Why would you be suing?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would...
Yeah, if you want, we can answer, because at the end of the poll, it'll give us a, like, who we align with the most.
So, yeah, this if you haven't heard this before, this is the I Side With 2024 Political Party Quiz, and this is just to see what you most align with before this election, which is coming up in about 15 days.
Yeah. And as Texans, we definitely need to be voting. We're 51st in the nation. So if you're registered and able to vote, I would definitely highly, highly recommend. I don't care if you vote left or right. I want you to go out and vote, because we need to do better, Texas. We cannot be 51st, the worst nation. We love Texas. I want Texas to be better than that. So let's go out and vote, Texans.
Yeah, every vote matters. Every vote matters, because your one vote is one in so many that keeps on piling up. And if you can take one person with you to the voting blocks, that's another 5 people voting. That's another 10 people voting. And it exponentiates into a block of voting that can go for your side. It doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican. It's important that you vote, because you're in this country. You're a citizen, and you have to have a say in what this country does.
Yeah, and we only have about 60% of Texans voting. And you may think, oh, well, that's over half. That's still really bad when we're 51st. If we're ranked 51st, that's pretty awful.
Yeah.
So let's get that changed.
All right, the next issue. Should the federal government pay for tuition for 4-year colleges and universities?
I'm going to say no, but I think we should lower the interest rate on them. That's what I would say. I don't think the government already pays for a lot, and unless we're going to change it with something else, I'm going to have to say no. Like, unless... I don't want to add on to the more taxes that we pay. You know, we already pay a ton for public schools. So just adding on that with public, basically making public college right, that's going to go way up, right, even more.
It's going to cost the government way more. And there's, like, so many people going to college, and you can't sustain that over time unless you raise taxes to about 50%, because that's going to be a majority of the population that's going through the college system within the next years, and so many other more people are going through it. So how are you going to pay for that?
I've kind of heard this from my grandma, and I kind of even agree with this. Like, you do need those blue collar / menial job workers. I know that sounds bad, but you need your gas station workers, you need your Whataburger workers, you know, you need people to also do menial jobs. It sounds bad, but you need those people, because otherwise who's gonna run those places, you know?
And so, in the future, there will be AI to take over those things,
yeah,
which will force people to go into more specialized jobs and get more education to get into better jobs. So that's also a factor into it.
Yeah.
So bottom line, I don't think it would be sustainable unless this country goes into a tax rate hike, and then that would mean less individual freedom because we can't spend our own money like we want.
And like I said, unless they were going to change where that money was going, let's say we cut something else so tremendously that we were able to do that, but I think with how expensive college is, it would be extremely, extremely expensive to fund everybody to go to college.
Right, yeah, definitely.
So my answer is just no, but I would like to see the interest rate.
So we select no. Should critical race theory be taught in K-12 education?
My answer is again no. From my point of view of what I've seen of critical race theory, it's not like, what? Can you explain it to me again? I've heard it before. I just can't get my mind on it.
I'm not exactly familiar with critical race theory as much, but I've heard that it's just teaching.
It's kind of it puts white people in the side of that they were always kind of villains, is what I've heard from more of a conservative side of the view. And again, I need to go over my conservative. Again, this is one of those things where I'm like, I'm not educated that much, but from what I've seen, it's not very good.
Yeah, so. I'm not sure about this one. So we can leave that to another thing. If it's teaching, I just believe that schools should be teaching academics and academics only, because if you teach science, if you teach history as the way it was written, if you teach English, if you teach everything to make the person more smart, then all by means go for it. But if you're teaching people to go back and hate another person because of a recent past history, then no.
Yeah. There's a couple answers on here that are different. One of them is like, yes, we cannot end racism until we acknowledge that our institutions, laws, and history are inherently racist. I wouldn't say that they're inherently racist. And this one says, no, kids should not be raised to be racially colorblind instead of being taught that they are inherently racist or disadvantaged based on the color of their skin.
Okay. Yeah, then I definitely don't support that, because America is one of the freest countries in the world. We have the Declaration of Independence, which in the first word says that all men are created equal. And that is the only constitution that has that, because we have founding fathers that envisioned a country where a person of yellow skin color, brown skin color, can converse with a white person on the other side and still be civilized. That's what they envisioned. They envisioned everyone having a voice in this country.
Yeah, I definitely would say that. That's true. And I don't want to ever say that anybody is inherently racist because of their skin tone. I hate that. Someone who is white, like, if someone said that I was inherently racist because of my skin tone, I'd be like, that's almost racist to say that that I am racist because I'm automatically white, you know?
Yeah.
So
we definitely need to have better means of education, and it's just staying on the side of what would you teach your children in the future? Like, would you want them to be the next Elon Musk or something that could attain to that amount? Like, you want your kids to have academics. You want your kids to be smart to enrich this world. So it's something that you need to put into your schools. You need to have regular education in your schools that is not infiltrated by misinformation.
Yeah. All right, next question. These are good questions, though. I mean, even though we're not always, you know, 100% educated on them, they're very good.
Do you support increasing taxes for the rich in order to reduce interest rates for students' loans?
What do you think?
If you could, so when they define rich, they mean like corporate companies that have a lot of tax breaks. And these companies have tax breaks because they produce a lot and they need to have the income in order to produce, and they hire so many workers, right? So I would say no, that you shouldn't tax the rich to help this, because if they supply so many jobs and they supply the economy, if these companies, they get taxed, then they won't be able to produce as much, and they'll start paying their workers less, and then people have less money to spend. So in the long run, everybody has less to spend, but you're paying for college education, which that was the person's decision to make. The person should take ownership of that expense.
Yeah, I'm definitely kind of on the agreement with you that, like, if we, it's kind of like a double-edged sword. Like, let's say you did raise it. Well, then the rich will just find some other way to lower their taxes in a different way. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you raise it, then everyone that works under their companies, they're going to lose money. Right. So it's a double-edged sword where you're going to hurt one side, you're going to hurt the other. So yeah. I don't know enough, but I don't think that that's the way to do it.
Yeah, definitely. It's very confluent. It's very complicated because you can't just increase the taxes for the rich to pay for student loans. And the student loans were their decision, so you can't forgive student loans because someone decided to take them on. That was a consumer decision, not something that was forced on them.
Yeah, I definitely think this could be a definite discussion topic, you know, of like education, kind of an episode, but college has gotten very expensive, and I know a lot of people say, well, then some people just can't go to college, and that's true. Some people can't because they can't get the scholarship, so they don't have the money. And I do think there needs to be some sort of way that we can make college, like, everybody can almost go to community college and get an associate's, but associates get you only so far.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I don't have the answer for how we lower, like, how expensive college is, but there's got to be something out there to make it a little bit more easier for those up and coming lower class people that really, they're smart, they get everything. Again, you just, for those lower class, the only way right now is, like, they're really smart, you know, they're top 10%, and they get a scholarship somewhere kind of deal, you know? That's, but. Yeah.
If you, we had this episode, I think it was episode 4 and 5. We looked at 60 years ago how much tuition cost.
Yeah.
It was around $2,000 per semester. Even my dad, he had $1,200 per semester. That's very manageable. How did it get to 7,000? How did it get to 15,000 per semester? Even 60,000 for private universities?
Yeah.
I mean, think it starts at the university. They're not using the money wisely.
It's going to programs that don't even educate the school. It just makes like their football team or something better.
So. Right. And of course, this money needs to go to improvements for the school so that we get better education, but it needs to get lowered into a portion where students can afford it and it's reasonable for the amount that they that makes actually spend.
The government have to regulate pricing on colleges so that way it's reasonable for everyone. I don't know. Maybe I'm spitballing again, but maybe that's what it takes, some more government regulation on these colleges to say, hey, you guys are making this way too expensive, especially for a public college, you know, not even a private college, you know. I can understand private, you make your own things, but if you're going to be publicly funded by the government, then you got to lower your prices down a little bit.
Maybe.
I don't know. Again, I'm spitballing. I don't know the answer, but it's kind of where I'm headed.
Problem with regulating prices is that it doesn't foster any, like, you don't get better education in the long run.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's...
It's a very interesting topic.
Developing topic, yeah.
All right.
We will answer some questions on Instagram Live in a short bit, so keep on asking. All right, the next issue, you want to read it?
Yeah. Should the federal government increase funding for healthcare and low-income individuals?
Should the federal government increase
funding of healthcare for low-income?
For low-income individuals. It depends on who's on it, because right now they are loading illegal immigrants onto it, and that's drowning the system. So if you keep on doing that, you're not going to have Medicaid. No one low income will have Medicaid, because it's going to flood that benefit program, and then no one can benefit from it. So in the future, I would say no. You should find a better way to support people on Medicaid, but not increase it.
I don't even know what the amount is. Like, I don't know how much you get from Medicaid and stuff like that. Again, this is a topic I'm kind of uneducated on. I haven't needed to use Medicaid. I'm not very, I would say, in the low income of people, so I don't really know. I'm not going to say I have an answer, but we can leave it at no if you want.
Okay.
Because I'm just not knowledgeable enough on this topic.
Because Medicaid and Medicare, if we keep on the rate that's going on, we're gonna have so many elderly people on it. And then if we keep on increasing it, it's going to be about 35 to 50% of our whole federal budget in a couple years. And that's very big.
Yeah.
In Canada, they do free healthcare, and the percentage of their budget is super high. It's more than 50% because they have to take care of their citizens. So I don't think it's a wise thing for the government to take care of the citizens in that aspect, because it's so big. You have 300 million people that you put on healthcare. That's not sustainable for everyone, or else you're going to have to tax the hell out of people.
Yeah. All right, I'll go on to the next question. Should the government require employees of large businesses to be vaccinated from COVID?
What do you think?
So there's yes, no, and then there's a no. I think businesses should require vaccinations, but not the government mandate. I'm kind of on that side. If the business wants that, you don't have to work for the business, but if the business says, I want you to get the COVID vaccine, then you either say, okay, I'm not going to accept this job, or you can say, yeah, I'll get the, you know, the vaccine, and I'll get the job. Hmm. That's kind of my stance on it. Because it's your choice, then. You're still making the decision.
Yeah, but it's like you're basically fired then if you're working there, and then it's like your only job, and they say now, all your employees, you're fired if you don't get this vaccine. How would you feel then? I mean, that was your choice to work there, but now you can't work there anymore. And I think that's like a government mandate right there. Like if the business says that you have to take the vaccine, you're not going to do it, and you're going to get fired.
Yeah, I did get the vaccines. I was, my parents kind of forced me to. I didn't have any problems, but I've been fine. Nothing ever happened to me. So, I kind of, that's just my view of it. But, I mean, we can have two different views. I mean, at the end of the day, this isn't something that's, like, super, as a policy that this is on, this doesn't bother me that much. Like, to be honest, which either way it goes. So. Yeah.
There's research that has supported that those first vaccines that came out were not safe. People have had heart attacks with them, and it's increased the incidence of cardiovascular disease.
So, yeah, I've heard that's quite rare, but I mean, it has happened. Yeah, but I think it's quite rare to happen. So, Ruben, we're gonna need you to stop with those comments. I can see you over there, but yeah, I don't know. It's a mixed topic. Somewhere where we both kind of disagree. I think sure. Mandate it, but
yeah. So the next question is, do you support the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, as known as Obamacare?
We're getting to these topics. It's probably the main set of policy things that I just don't have enough to tell you yes or no.
Yeah, we'll do an episode on this in the future.
Yeah, I definitely need to do more research. If you just want to go past this one, or if you have a opinion on this, you can give yours, but I don't have enough to say really anything on something like Obamacare. I just have not.
Yeah, I think it's best to leave this in the future. I want to do more as well.
Research, yeah.
So we will click. No longer relevant.
Yeah.
So we'll do 4 more questions, and then we will wrap this up, okay?
Yeah.
Should the government require children to be vaccinated for preventable diseases?
Well, the government already requires this. I think, right, you got a meningitis shot, right? Because it's the colleges, all colleges, I'm pretty sure, in the state of Texas require you to get that shot. And I don't really know what the meningitis shot does, but, or what it protects you against. You probably know because you're in the medical, and you probably just know, but sure, I'm going to say yes again on this. I don't know about your opinion.
So for proven vaccines, they should, because these are like everyday vaccines that you won't die ever from because they've been tested over time. My idea with the COVID one is that they just put it out, mandated it, and they didn't have testing to support their evidence. Mm-hmm. So if it's true and it's been through the rigorous testing, then it's definitely good. Okay. And it should be good because it helps immunize the population against bad diseases.
So would you say if the COVID, now that has more time, would you trust it now more? Or how many years would you need more of time to?
I mean, COVID pandemic came and went.
Yeah.
As fast as it was. And I think people should have the choice to get it still. I mean, it's still very new. Very new, as opposed to like a disease like meningitis that's been here for a long time. Do you support the use of nuclear energy?
Yes. I mean, if it's done responsibly, I think it's fine. I mean, I don't know much about nuclear energy, but I know we've been doing it. So, in my opinion, yes.
What do you think about the people that are scared of nuclear energy? Why are they scared?
Are they scared of it because of like what happened with Chernobyl? Like if the wrong people are doing this, that the potential of like having a radioactive site for hundreds of years?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, you just need the proper people. We've had a couple of scare cases. I think one was in New York with their nuclear power plants. But I mean, that's pretty rare when you think about it. It's really like, if you think about it, like Chernobyl is the worst case scenario, and that's only happened once in our history.
Right.
I'm pretty sure all I've known. So if you're scared of it, I understand why, but I think it's very rare that that happens again. Like we as Americans too, we take way more safety precautions. Calling you out, Russia, and you guys don't all the time. You take a lot of shortcuts with things. So
yeah,
I think it's fine personally.
There's a alternative way in nuclear fusion, and there's nuclear fusion and nuclear fission. Fission is breaking nuclei apart, and that's what creates like the radioactive thing that could hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
If you do nuclear fusion, you're fusing helium atoms together, and then you make hydrogen atoms into helium, and that is not toxic at all. So if you do fusion, which is nuclear energy, then you will find that you will have cleaner energy in the future. But it takes a lot of costs. They spend about $50 million of worth of energy to get $100 million back, which is very expensive if you need to get that energy. And they've only been doing this in the past 4 years, like getting positive energy from that,
okay,
which is hard to get as of now, but in the future, I think it would definitely be a great addition to our economy.
Okay. Let's do one more question as we're kind of running low on time, but I think we can get one more in.
Yeah. All right. And then the last question of this episode, should the government allow the commercialization of lab-grown meat?
So lab-grown meat, again, I don't know much about this topic. I think if you're going to, you have to tell people, in my opinion, that this is either lab-grown meat or this is actual real meat. So if you're going to go out there and then be like, not disclose that, I think that's wrong. I think if people want to eat lab-grown meat, that's up to them. I personally don't. I want to eat just regular meat. But if some people want to, I think as long as it's disclosed that it's out there, hey, this was grown in a lab and you want to eat it, you go right ahead. That's your choice. So that's my opinion on that.
Yeah, I think it's just another product in the consumer market. And if it's something that you want to buy, go buy it. And they should not hide the fact that it's
lab-grown meat. Yeah, obviously, yeah. I don't want to be being like, oh, man, I got such a great deal on a steak. And then they don't tell me that, oh, this was grown out in a lab, dude. And I'd be like, I'd be so mad.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know the implications of lab-grown
meat. Yeah, we don't know the safety or anything. So, at the moment,
it'd have to be safe before we have.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's not, that's, again, not a topic that, like, I'm, like, super strong in this policy. Like, I mean, there's tons of policies on this. And some of them you care about a lot. And other times you're like, yeah, I don't really care. Like, but obviously I want this disclosed.
Yeah.
That's kind of my point. But this isn't a deal breaker. I don't really care, like, if this was on either candidate's, like, main goal. I'd be like, there's more important topics.
Yeah, definitely. Because it's, so we have some moderate issues that we have. And then we have passionate issues that we have. So it's a continuum. And here on the Sets On Podcast, we'll be doing this for another part. We have a lot more questions to go through, actually, because this is a long quiz. And if you haven't checked this out, you should go in and go to the website called isidewith.com and check out the 2024 political party quiz. This will help you get more knowledgeable about what issues are important to Americans and how you can vote in the next election.
Yes, definitely. Again, before we wrap it up, just I want everyone to know that you got to vote out this year. We need, as Texans, we're 51st again in the nation. You got to go out and vote because every vote matters out there. Vote left, right. We don't care. We want people to go out. So Texas is not the worst in the nation when it comes to voting. We've been in the worst in the nation since like the 90s and even before that, I think. So it's actually, from what I've seen, just pure laziness. Texans got to get out there and go out and vote.
Definitely, definitely. Go out and vote. This, we have about 15 days before the next election. Go out and vote. It's very important to do it. And yeah, this is, we have more ways of our, on our platform today. So we have YouTube, we have Spotify, we have RSS, we have Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, you can find us on any platforms.
Any platform.
Instagram, TikTok, you can find us there. We're going to soon be posting a lot more clips on our Instagram Reels and our TikTok. So be prepared and ready for that. That's coming very soon. We hope to see you again for the next episode. This is Sights On.
Signing off.